Read along with me in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, at verse 14. Sometimes when we change the dynamic of our thinking, see, we may think that we make the choice to change our thought process, but there's times when either revelation comes or understanding is gained that we begin to view something differently, and so we begin to operate differently. And so we make adjustments along our way in our experience of life and in our walk with God. We begin to see maybe greater depths in the word of the Lord, and we consider it, we muse over it, we contemplate, we listen closer, and we allow it to speak to us, which brings us choice. Move with the direction that we feel like we're receiving from the Lord, or put it off a while, expecting he'll be back. Or we can resist it altogether. Now, most typically when people resist it altogether, there's only one direction. Kind of like Jonah. He went down from Joppa. He went down into, or wherever he went, and then he went down into the ship, and then he went down to the bottom of the ship, and then he jumped. They got thrown down in the water, and he went down into the middle of the sea. Resisting the Lord, it's not a good path. And so we want the word of the Lord to teach us, direct us, cause us to make adjustments. We receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that is a transforming experience. But the scripture talks about the renewing of our mind. I used to think this way, but now I'm thinking that way. And to tell you the truth, it doesn't happen spontaneously on the spot, having been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Some things do, many things do not. And so it's the course of teaching that we need to receive that brings these adjustments in our life. The admonishment isn't to compare ourselves among ourselves, because what we realize, well, we're on the same road, but some may be ahead of me on the path. They've already passed by this way, and they're up ahead, and there's things that they're encountering, dealing with in their walk with God, and the Lord is leading them, maybe yet deeper, maybe yet higher, but he's leading them. And of course, the positive thing would be for us to all be moving in the same direction. Amen. Matthew 25, for the kingdom of heaven, at verse 14, this is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Now, listen carefully. How much money was, I don't know if this is proper English, was the man's that had the 5 talents? How much was his? All of it? None of it. I heard both. at the same time. None of it. But what about when he had 10? Was 5 his now and 5 the Lord's? No, it was all the Lord's. Who was he working for? I thought you worked for yourself. I thought you earned a paycheck. I thought you get paid. Don't you get paid on your job? Okay, I'm being a little sarcastic here. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The NIV reads it this way. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The Amplified, his master said unto him, well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant. You've been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into the and share the joy, the delight, the blessedness which your master enjoys. I kind of like that. So it's a measuring stick. It's an opportunity given. Here's a few things. And I'm going to observe and watch how and what you do with those few things. And they will determine the latter course. Now, how many has even entertained the thought, why don't I get anything? Why am I always poor? Why is it that I always have so little and it seems others have so much? Well, we can't answer for everything, but according to this scripture, these principles are in operation, whether you choose for them to be or not. And so this is my opportunity. You know, every once in a while I've had a conversation with somebody who has said things to me like, well, they just don't trust me. Speaking of close ones, yeah, she doesn't believe in me anymore. You know, I made some mistakes. I did this, I did that, whatever, you know. And I've always felt this to be the right answer. Give them some history. Time. All you can do to reverse the past is change the future. And that's only going to be measured over time. Now, to be frank, that's mostly been in marital counseling situations or in relationship situations where one, either husband and wife, has lost confidence in the other over decision-making process or whatever. It can touch so many areas of life, but we all have the ability and the chance to change that. It's called time. Give them some history. Show them otherwise. And so this is the principle at play here where the Lord says, here, the Lord of these stewards, he gives them like we have been given. Well, what do you mean given? I don't have anything. Look at me, I don't have anything. I have nothing. Oh, no, 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 no. You have so much, and you are a steward over everything that is you. Well, you are a steward. Good or bad, you are a steward. Amen? And we are all given the opportunity before the Lord in all that he has given to us to again also receive the promise of the principle. I will make you ruler, or I will put you in charge of much. Show me what you can do with a little. I'm sorry if I'm overemphasizing this. Show me what you can do with a little. Give me some history. And you manage it well, I'll make you a manager over much. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not strawn, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is the, yeah, thee thou though the. His Lord answered and said unto him, who was King James anyway? I'm sorry. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. And boy, I'd just like to speak English to you here for a minute. We need an interpretation, please. No. Amen. You know the story. I'm going to read past it now. I want to go to Luke 16 and 16. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man that had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. He called him and said unto him, you ever heard somebody say, all the churches, all they talk about is money. This Lord here that inspired this writings, he seemed to talk about it a lot. Now, it's not a topic that we visit, even pass by very often. But I feel compelled and have for a few days. Verse 3. No, verse 2, second part. Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Remember the one that had the one talent? Buried it in the sand? Was not a good steward over it? What happened? Take away from the one that has one and give it to the guy that's got five. Now, I know everybody's had the chance to say, you know, it's just not fair. Nope. Face reality. And so he was taken away from being the steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much did you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take the bill, write 80. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Let the word of the Lord talk to you about your pennies. About your quarters. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, good old King James sometimes writes things backwards so we can get the forward meaning. If we can get the forward meaning. If you've not been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the trust of true riches? Reverse that around. If you are faithful in the unrighteous mammon, there will be those who will commit to you the true riches. Are you with me? Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Reverse it. If you will be faithful and a good steward over that which is not yours, what'll happen? You will be given to that which is your own. Now, this is an area that I think sometimes we hardly ever even enter into thought. In other words, we're all very concerned about being a steward over that which is ours. And really, we probably even put ourselves in the place of saying, you know, I'm not really responsible for anybody but myself. Of course, I don't know. Did you file a tax return this year? Caesar. What did the Lord say? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. That was a tax that was levied. Ooh, this is unpopular. You know, what's this belong in the church? Come on. We came to worship. Didn't you hear earlier? We're going to bless the Lord. Let our lifestyle of stewardship give worship and adoration unto God. He spoke of those that it was only from the words of their mouth, but their heart was so far from him. That's word worship only. That's you know, look like the world, smell like the world, from the world. Okay. Maybe we should have a word of prayer here right now. Father, we indeed want to wait upon you, Jesus, to lead and direct our lives. Let your word make these adjustments in our daily step, Lord, as you would see fit, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're working on a job and you're handling merchandise, and it's not your merchandise, it's somebody else's merchandise. And I'm sure you've never heard anybody on a job say this, not mine. In other words, maybe proper care's not being given. Maybe there's a little bit slothful. Maybe there's not a whole lot of care in the matter, but it's, you know, it's a worldly idea, not mine. That ain't mine. Who cares? That ain't mine. As though I would only care for that which is mine. In other words, I'm interested in being, you know, counting, crossing the dots. No. What do? You dot, you know what I mean. The detail. We're interested in the details when there are details. That's my penny. That's my quarter. That's mine. Boy, that starts real early in life. That's mine. You can't play with that. But what about when it's somebody else's? We hear broadcast across the news daily of corruption on every level. This word really talks to me. I could very easy at times point at somebody and think, oh, you're a penny pincher. You know what I mean? Penny pincher, you're tight. Because my path has always been one of being just a little bit more liberal in those senses. You know, I'll round it up. You get my gist? You know, round it up. Don't be so, you know. I owe you what, 37 cents? Here, have a buck. Okay. Now, some people, it's like, hold on a minute. And it's easy for my personality type to look at that and think, I'm sorry. That's my personality. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not God's leading. This is why we're here, to overcome this. Right? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? What an opportunity that's given to me when it's been, when the master's put me in charge of something. Few things in the beginning. Small things. Few things. Just a little bit. That's my, you know, and we think, well, if there was more involved here, then I'd be a whole lot more careful. You know, if this was really, you know, you're only talking about 35 bucks here. You know, if this was 35,000, whoa, okay, let's check these numbers. Okay. See, we want to be responsible for the big deal, yet we've not been proven yet in the small deal, or if we have been proven, we've been proven less than faithful with the few, with the little. And whether it's ours or another man's, somewhere we have to come to the place of whatever it's been placed here. In other words, this is my place of responsibility, that there is always a place of accountability. You know, look how easy it is, you know. I didn't have a dollar to my name. Maybe I do. I got a 20. I want something smaller. Who's got $3? $3? Who's got a 5? 8. Can I get 8? No. Who's got $3? He's got a 20. Anybody. Small. Anything. Thank you. That's too many. Careful. Count that. Oh. Okay. What could you get with $3? You cannot even get a coffee at Starbucks. Costco, $1.50. Okay, so casually, right? Casually, I come by and I say, hey, why don't you have that? $3. Pfft, sticks it in his pocket. I bet before he gets home, he's either walking to the convenience store, he's at Safeway, and, you know, he's got it mixed in, and, you know, now he's got a $20 bill when he goes to the register, and that three never even had a mark on him. Never found a place, right? Oh, he's still living by the tithe principle. Brother, it's all the Lord's. That's my point. I'm kidding. See, if this was $3,000, these are $1,000 bills, okay? I just want you to have this. Now what are you doing with it? You're a steward. Dear God, $3,000. Why did you give that to me, Lord? What is it that you want me to do? Is there some purpose or cause? Yeah, I know, that really sounds petty when you're talking about $3, doesn't it? But if you'll look at the principle, he that's faithful over three shall be made the manager over the 3,000. Because of my approach to all that is given into my hand, what is my responsibility for this? It's just a way of thinking. Oh, yeah, whose was that? So let's see. You've been called into the office, and you've been given a greater responsibility than you had had previously. And you recognize, he didn't give it to them. He didn't give it to them. He gave it to me. And so I exercise discretion with trust. Why? Because I've sat down to the desk and I am taking the test. Oh, nobody's watching over my shoulder. But this is a test. And what I do with this responsibility readies me. Readies me. Readies me. There's something else coming. I've called a few fellas into the office. Hey, could you handle this project? Yeah, me? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Week goes by. 2 weeks go by. I ain't had a word. 3 weeks go by. I'm calling them back into the office. I need to take that project back. It happens. We ought not take lightly when responsibilities are entrusted to us. Okay, we're going to come back to this scripture. Genesis 39 and 2. But the Lord was with Joseph. And he, though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to flourish and succeed in his hand. So Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight, and he served him. And his master made him supervisor over his house, and he put all that he had in his charge. Powerful, powerful principle. There had to have been the faithfulness over the few to have brought him to the place of having charge over not just many, over all. Now, here's what's interesting. I've observed individuals who've been given that opportunity. And I don't know why, but they quickly seem to forget. That's Potiphar's stuff. That's not your stuff. You have the charge and the care over it. You are to be a wise steward over it. Don't take possession of it. And so you see Joseph as a prisoner, been given responsibility and care over, or wait, he's not in prison yet. He's at Potiphar's house. He is a slave. Well, that changed shortly, and then he was in prison. And, you know, you'd think, well, I had an opportunity one time. I'll probably never get that opportunity again. No, 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 no. When you begin to live this lifestyle, being faithful over the few, you will be made ruler over many. It didn't matter whether he was in Potiphar's house or in the prison house. He was put in charge everywhere he went. It's not promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. God puts one down and he sets up another. Promotion comes from the Lord. Now you'd have thought, wow, this dude's in charge. You know, here we are at Washington State Penitentiary, and one guy, it seems like there's words that we use for people like that, kissing up. He must be kissing up because he's been given all this favor and all this. No, 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 no. There's a pattern that's been operating in his life, and so now he's entrusted even more. Before it was just a household, now it's the whole prison house. But wait, 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 wait. The principle lives on. The principle continues to operate and grow. He's being tested as a prisoner with his stewardship over all that's in the prison. What for? Because, lo, one day, the tables turn. You know, you ever looked at your own situation in life? You think, man, nothing ever changes. I need to leave. I need to get another job. I need to do something different. But, you know, you try and you can't, and it's just not working. It's just not working. Just keep operating the principles. Okay. Just keep living by the principles. Because all it takes is the turning of one day. And the steward over the prison house became the steward over the country. And his stewardship affected the lives of the next generations. It's at the point of reunion with those brothers that rejected him and because they hated the favor that was on his life. Did he come to the resolution? Man, this was God's plan all along. And he's just been operating it out through time. Well, you can look at that and say, well, okay, so there was one man in the history of mankind that was recorded in the Bible. I promise you, there's thousands of people who have walked faithful in the few and been made ruler or manager or put in charge over the many. Now, we're not sold out on that sometimes because we're only buying in if, that many becomes ours. Somewhere along the line, there's a transition there from steward to owner. You know, we were happy to be servant over the few and the few things, but, you know, if this is, you know, I want to really know how to become the owner, the possessor. Okay, I'm boring some of you. Let me go a little further. Okay, Luke chapter 12. How much time we got left? Are we on a clock? I don't know that I could hold your attention long enough to cover, but maybe you could mark this down if I can't. Luke chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm gonna go on here, but just in case. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord is talking to them about their cares. Verse Let's go to verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither what for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Down to verse 29. And seek not ye what you shall eat, nor what you shall drink, neither what shall be of double mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness shall, all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Would you read that, the rest of that, when you go home? Luke chapter 12. I was caught a little off guard in preparing for this today, in that some of the areas that the Lord led me. We being here in mixed company, that's men and women, some children. But I never know who is going to be in this sanctuary. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now you realize that the book of Corinthians was wrote to the church at Corinth. And some of the things that Paul was writing about, you'd think, where in the world would that even be near the church? Never mind in the church, in the lives of individuals, blood-bought, spirit-filled believers. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6. If any of you has a I'm in the NIV. I don't suppose you have NIV, do you? You read what you want. I'm going to read the NIV to you. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? Think about that for a minute. I say this to shame you. It is possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong. And you do this to your brothers and sisters. Now, like I said, this really caught me off guard. In that I was prompted to read through this. But the Lord knows all of us. And he knows our matters. He knows our deliberations. Verse 9, or you do not know the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanders, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Verse 12, I have the right to do anything you say. Now, this is today's generation. He loves me the way I am. Come as you are. Stay as you are, for that matter. Just come. That's today's generation. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body is, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Can you believe he's writing this to the church at Corinth? Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost? Who is in you, whom you have received from God, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Stewardship. Stewardship over all that I have been given, life itself, this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I am to be a steward over it. So how can I take on the attitude that I can do what I want to do, the Lord loves me. Well, because he loves you, he tells you, I don't want you to do that. Amen? We used to just point at the youth and say, wow, they've gone wild. You know, let's try to rein them back in. But the language of broadcast media and advertising has erased all lines. Matter of fact, we're hearing more now in the media. I'm trying to think who it was that apologized last week. It seems there were several for making some kind of a joke or a slight comment as though what we just read was true, and had to publicly apologize for declaring what Paul wrote to the church about. Men sleeping with men. We have all kinds of words to address this in our day and age. And there is such a rise up against anything and anybody who declares or reads this publicly. The pace is picking up. It's not going to slow down. Don't be surprised that many get arrested. Don't be surprised. For speaking out. I want to finish with this scripture. Let's pray one more time. Father, we want to be sensitive to you. Let our lives be absolute. I pray, let our spirits be filled with resolve from your word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. The three servants that the parable spoke of, I would suspect that one would be honored. Let's say there were 20 or 300 servants. Just the idea that those servants, the Lord came to them and gave to one more. To be honored and to not take it lightly. See, until a person comes to the conclusion that the Lord owns it all, it's all his. It's only being lent to me. Whatever that is. Is your child lent to you? Are the things that you possess lent to you for a purpose? It begs the question sometimes. When we live in a part of the world chosen. The Lord chose that you were born here or that you would live here and live in such an economic system that we would have so much. In a world where the largest majority. You know, I forget the figure. I think it was 2/3 of the world lives on less than $2 a day. And the idea that, you know, I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody. I'm just wanting us to give some thought and be responsive to. We have the opportunity because we make choices every time those dollar bills pass through our hands. You know what I'm saying? Is it possible to come to the consciousness that that's not mine, but it's been lent to me, or I've been put in charge of it, and so I've got to be careful on how much I hold on to, how much I put into a savings account. Now, notice I didn't say, don't have a savings account. In other words, asking of the Lord direction in all that comes through our hand. What am I responsible to? Where should this go? I got to tell you, there's been times when I've been asked that all within me said, forget about it. I'm talking about from people. But no, it's not me, but the Lord's wanting me to do something here. And so I'm going to reject my own thoughts, ideals, traditions, and where the Lord says get involved financially, you know, somebody come asking, then I'm responsible to participate because it's not mine. Okay? I'm responsible to participate because it's not mine. That's the right way to think. That's the Word of God. Amen? To whom? What am I going to say? Oh, so we're all in the Holy Ghost here right now together, aren't we? To whom much is given, much is required. Now, that's not, big taboo on me. That's okay. I've been given another responsibility. I've been given a grander responsibility. My responsibilities are expanding because of my faithfulness of a few things. Don't ever look down the nose at somebody because all this, you realize that, wow, they've acquired a lot of stuff. They've been given a great responsibility whom they will all be accountable. We are all accountable, and that's a good thing. That's right. I do want to. I want to close with a short story, something that I am experiencing right now. My mother married a man when I was in the second grade. I told you about him a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, Phil Mercurio. And we lived with him for many years up until my sophomore year of high school. They divorced, and then we moved to Washington. That's how we got back out here. And then he came out, and they got married again. And they sold the house we were living in, and they bought a farm in Sela. It probably wasn't a year. They got divorced again. My mom met some other guy, and they got married. He met some lady, and they got married. They got divorced. He met another lady and got married again. And they got divorced. Wasn't going well. He should have stayed single. Well, in the process of time, he really liked to work. And he did. And he worked the farm. It's 20 acres. And he always wanted to be in the excavation business. So he bought a backhoe. And then he bought a bulldozer, and then he bought a tractor, and then he bought another bulldozer, and then he bought another bulldozer, and then he bought four more backhoes. And he has accrued all this equipment. And then a week or so ago on his porch, he fell down and was unable to get up, called a friend. They put him in an ambulance, and before he got to the hospital, he was gone. Oh, the finality of death. You wonder what maybe goes through the thoughts of a person at that time. Oh, my backhoe! Oh, you know, it's slipping away. My Traskavator. Whatever they call that thing. My gator. My house. No, he didn't think much of his house. I have no idea what a man or a woman thinks of during those times, but it's too late. It's out of your control. It's all been given there to you. It's out of your control now, what you're going to do. Well, here's what's a strange scenario. You know, when my mom divorced him, see, we called him our stepfather in those early years because they were married. Well, I never considered him anything different than that, but legally, as soon as they divorced, he was just a friend. And I did visit him a few times, not a lot of times. And I saw what he was doing on the farm and all that. But he would make comments, you know. So when he passed, my little sister, Jill, who's 10 years younger than me, flew up here, asked if I would go over there. And I did, and we had a little memorial. And we began to look into the legalities because there was no will. And so it has to go under probate in the state of Washington. And the administrator over the probation and over the estate has to be a resident of the state of Washington. Well, lo and behold, all my siblings moved out of Washington. And so I find myself in a very precarious position. I am the administrator over the entire state. And here's what I'm feeling. I've been giving an opportunity. See, it's not mine. It's not my tractors. It's not my cherries. It's not my farm. In the state of Washington, it will go to the heir, which is my little sister. So Jill will end up with it all. That's fine. I've been granted an opportunity to be faithful over that which is another man's. I can't tell you what it means to me to be trusted. I can't tell you what that's doing for me. At this age in my life, because I have taught these principles all my life. I got up the other morning and felt compelled to write an email to my kids and did, covering many of the scriptures that we were talking about here today. I want them to know just how much I believe this and want to see them operate their lives that don't look at the size of things. Don't count the few of them, but be faithful in the few. In a society that lives and spends every dime it's got and then borrows on top of that and then declares bankruptcy 2-3 years down the road because they can't pay back the debt that's been borrowed, and then start over again, never changing the principles. I've got friends and relatives that have done it 2 and 3 times. These principles are true. He that's faithful with the little, with the least, shall be with the much. And being faithful with the least, in my opinion, guarantees me there will be more responsibility. There will be more responsibility. Now, the scripture closed with this. If I can't be faithful over that which is another man's, how will I be entrusted with that which will be mine? We're also living in the day of what people are calling the prosperity doctrine, because everybody wants to get rich. Everybody wants to, you know, drive Rolls Royces and wear diamond earrings. And, you know, this is the world. This is the world. And there are congregations built on, and you can see them on today's media, God wants you to be rich. And so when you're there just eking through life trying to make it, you wonder, why is God mad at me? Well, he's not. But here's what I'm saying. They make a mockery of these scriptures. These are true principles of God. And there's a genuine walk and relationship with God that he honors this. Be a steward. Be conscious of everything that passes through your hands. Be a steward over your body. It's not ours, it's the Lord's. He owns it all. Amen. Why don't you stand? From this office about it, for fear you would lose respect for it, or for me when I do talk about it. Let's pray. Let's worship the Lord together.
Word of God, speak. You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. A word of God, speak, pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak, pour down like rain, pushing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
If you'd like to come,
Word
and pray,
of God,
like
speak.
If you would like to come to the front, bend a knee. Jesus, let's
speak. Jesus, pour down like rain.
Thank you, Lord.
Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Pour down like rain, washing my to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Pour down like washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and